Well, what a wonderful privilege for me, you can imagine, to be here to take part in this celebration, this commissioning this morning. And now to have the opportunity to pick up from where you as a Holland Road Baptist Church family have been studying in Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus. This was a group of believers that had been founded, brought together through Paul's ministry in Ephesus, as we read in Acts chapter 19 and 20. And Paul is writing here to them some 10 years later. Actually, when Paul wrote this letter, he himself was in prison for his faith in Rome. And I'm going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. I don't know whether there are Bibles around. I don't actually know what the page number is in the church Bible. Does anybody want to? Sorry? 1174, if you picked up a Bible from the seat around you. And I'm going to start reading to chapter 2, verse 4. Maybe I'll pick up at verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, the pressures and demands of life which take us away from God, he's talking about. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful natures, our own natural selfishness and pride, rebellion against God, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. The picture here is of our lives kind of messed up, like beautiful ornaments that somehow got stuffed away in the attic and accumulated the dust and dirt and muck, or something lost by the wayside, something precious lost by the wayside that has lost its sense of its original purpose and got covered with grime and dirt and needs rediscovering and cleaning. And this is how our lives naturally are. We can't live in this sin-sick, broken, sad world, which still retains, of course, so much of the wonder and splendor that God had originally intended and sort of made into it. And yet when we look at the world and we see this and sense this incredible beauty that still is not completely hidden or spoiled, yet we also see the mess and the muddle that we as human beings make of our world and of our lives and of our marriages and of our homes and our relationships. And Paul has this wonderful thing to say about God's intention, his desire, his commitment to clean up our lives and to help us to rediscover our full purpose, his full purpose for us. Because, verse 4, of his, God's great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy. Often, the church is known by the world for its judgmental, hypocritical attitude. May God forgive us, because God is not like that. God is rich in mercy. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace, sheer undeserved favor and love from God. It's by grace you have been saved, rescued. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. That's what we were singing about in the hymn we sang, or the chorus we sang just before I stood up here. Not something earned, something given as a gift by God in the sending of his Son into our world so that we could be saved, so that we could be rescued, so that we could be found wherever we are and brought into the freshness of what Paul describes here as a new life, with our lives somehow cleaned up and our real creation purpose somehow brought out as this piece of junk that was somehow lost in the attic or by the roadside is found and cleaned up and restored to its original purpose and beauty. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And then this, verse 10, the one that we're going to just focus on for a few minutes. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Well, this is a wonderful truth. And what we've just been witnessing here this morning in the way that David and Laura have been prayed for and commissioned has been an expression in David and Laura's life of this truth. Somehow what has happened here in these last months is that David and Laura themselves and you as a church family here have been brought to recognize that this is something that God had in mind. That God has shaped and prepared David and Laura. They're his workmanship. He designed them. He thought of them. Jill and Justin and Chris and I were instruments that God used to help shape them, but we didn't know how they were going to turn out. And I can tell you we're pretty excited about what God has done in their lives. We recognize them as God's workmanship. And we recognize this, as you do, as the good works that God has prepared for them at this stage in their lives. But what is true for David and Laura, which is the focus of what we've been thinking about so far this morning, is also true for every one of us here. Because what Paul says in this letter is not just for one individual. It's not just for pastors or missionaries. It's true for every one of us. And there are three things here that, if we believe them, change the way we think and view ourselves, the way we think about ourselves. That change the way we think about one another. And that change the way we think about the future. And when we accept, when somehow we come to believe that what Paul says here is true, when we understand it, it does change. It changes the way we think about ourselves. It changes the way we think about one another. And it changes the way we think about the future. First, it changes the way we see ourselves, the way we think about ourselves. We are God's workmanship. Do you believe that about yourself? That you are the workmanship of God? You're a one-off original. God didn't make any mistakes. You weren't the person that God made with the leftovers. You are a uniquely designed person by God Himself. That's an incredible thing to believe. And if we can allow ourselves to take that on board and actually begin to believe that to be true, it changes the way we view ourselves. It gives us a sense of living for something beyond ourselves. It leads us into a new way of thinking about the events of our life up to this point. To begin to look back and discern the hand of God in things perhaps that even seemed unpleasant or difficult. That we're God's workmanship. And of course, this is in a wonderful way true of every human being, because God is the creator of all of us. He designed our humanity, and every human person in this world bears, the Bible tells us, the image, the stamp of God upon their life, because He's the creator of all of us. And that's why, as followers of Jesus, we're committed to treating every single person in this world with dignity and value and respect. That's why the New Testament exhorts us to show proper respect to everyone. No matter how tarnished the image of God is in their lives. No matter how much dirt and filth has been sort of accumulated over the years. We see beyond that. We see the image of God. We see the workmanship of God in human beings. And we see the dignity and value of every person. And we see that about ourselves. But Paul is saying something more here than just the dignity and value of every person. He's talking about people who are being recreated in Christ. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We might almost say recreated in Christ Jesus. Because in the passage that comes just before that, Paul has been talking about how God takes hold of people's lives and begins to clean them up as they come to this incredible understanding and conviction that God became a man in Christ, that God sent His Son to become a human being, to rescue us, to reach out to us. And when somehow Jesus Christ gets His hands on us, a recreating process begins in our lives. And you can go away and meditate on these verses before it and see how Paul describes it. This recreating process, this process of making us new in Christ, that when we realize that that's what God is doing, that perhaps even the very fact that we're here this morning is an indication that somehow God is beginning to work in our lives, to take us from where we were and clean us up and restore us to our full potential. To bring out all the beauty of our persons. One of the most wonderful things for me in my years of ministry and for Chris and I and will be for David and Laura too, is as you get to serve people and as you get to try to help people understand the love of God in Christ, you see people's lives change and flourish. The picture that comes most to my mind is like flowers or plants in the sunshine, opening up. We had a beautiful cactus plant in our garden in Kenya when David was growing up, and at a certain times of the year the cactus flowers. As the early morning sun would shine on that plant, the cactus flowers would open up and this sort of stubby little cactus would suddenly become a thing of incredible beauty. And I believe that's what God intends for every one of us. To experience the sunshine of God's love in such a way that the full beauty and potential of all that we are and can be in Christ is released to our own joy and to the joy and blessing of those around us. But this isn't just about ourselves, it's about one another. Just have a look around a moment. You don't have to sort of stare at anybody, but just have a look around and think, what does it mean to believe this verse, this truth, for those around us? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, you are, but so are those around you. You know the old joke about a lot of churches being a bit like a football stadium. 22,000 people who badly need exercise watching 22 people who badly need a rest. But that was never God's intention for his people. This scripture is true of all of us. And when we understand it, it affects the way we look at one another. For David and Laura, they need to look at this scripture and they need to look at you as people who are God's workmanship, who have good things to contribute and good work to do. I want to just read another passage from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where Paul talks about, he uses this illustration of a body where each of us contribute different things. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole church were a pastor, wouldn't work very well. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, each one of us, God's workmanship, made for a contribution. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no discord in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. So, if we believe this truth that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do, it changes the way we think about ourselves, but it changes the way we think about one another as well. We begin to see in one another the workmanship of God. We rejoice in our differences and recognize in one another a work still in progress, perhaps, as we are all works in progress. But we begin to see the creative beauty of God in one another, and that enables us to work together and appreciate one another. But it also changes the way we view the future, because there's a confidence that we're made with a purpose, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we should do them. It changes the way we understand that there's a purpose in our lives, that God made us for something. I love the way that Paul talks about this in one of his other letters to the Philippians, when he is He's describing what he longs to be in Christ and all that he hopes for about his life as he reflects on his past and he looks forward into the future. And he says, not that I've already attained all this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ Jesus took hold of me. I can remember the time when I began to sense God working in my life and God taking hold of my life, and he took hold of me for a purpose. There is a that for which Christ Jesus takes hold of us. And that gives us a way of engaging with the future, a sense of excitement and expectancy. Because there are good works, not bad works. Now, works, yes, work, effort. But good works that God has prepared beforehand for every one of us to live life with a sense of contribution and purpose. That's very easy to see at the moment for David and Laura. But it's equally true for every one of us here. And I urge every one of you to seek the purpose for which God made you. To come to him and be recreated in him, to unlock all of the potential of your life. And to discover the joy and excitement of living out his design purpose. Let's pray. Let's pray again. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can know that we are your workmanship. That we can be recreated in Christ, cleaned up, brought up to our full potential, with all of our innate abilities unlocked for your glory, for the blessing of our friends and family, and we can live with joy and confidence and walk into the future, not fearful, not timid, not shrinking back, but boldly and bravely into the future, knowing that you've prepared the way ahead of us and that we can find the good things, the good works which you've prepared for us to do. So help us all. Help David and Laura to live this out in the weeks and months and years ahead, and help us all to live this out. For we ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.